Welcome to the 100 Word Stories Weekly Challenge on the 100 Word Stories Podcast at One A Day Until The Day I Die.com. I'm your host, Lawrence Simon. Well, a robotic voice on Lawrence Simon's iPhone. Some weeks, I just don't feel like recording anything myself. And this is one of those weeks. Thank goodness you guys decided to record stories on the topic of patience. How about we listen to them right now? First up is Lady Blue. Let's hear her story.
Hi everyone, this is Blue with another story and another talk for you this Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. SLT. At Meeting of the Minds, I'll be giving a lecture on a history of cancer treatment. As before, the details and landmark are linked to the blog under my name. For this week, my story is entitled, The Blind O. She possessed an X-ray gaze and spoke in a nonsense tongue that made people very angry. They hated how she looked at them. It was unsettling. On the inside, she was already an abomination, so they admitted her. Patient 29 now lived in a white box. She was slowly recovering from a laryngectomy. Her eyes had been scooped out of her head, and they severed her spine so that she would not injure herself. Feeding tubes and catheters kept her healthy. Once a day, a priest would come and give her religion. They said it would rehabilitate her soul.
Thank you, Lady Blue. The next story is by John Musico.
Patience by John Musico. Why do doctors call people their patients? First off, why convert individuals into a group, doctors and all the other mere mortals? The white cape goes with this superhero theory. It's really a lab coat for techs against chemical splashes. The closest thing to getting splashed for a physician is someone sneezing on them. But why choose patients specifically? Is it because doctors are trying to offset the expectation that patients will be imposed with circumstances expected to make them impatient? But heck, they're patients, so it's fine. The common line, you'll just have to be patient, favors this theory.
Thank you, John Musico. The next story is by Jeffrey Fisher.
Hello, it's Jeffrey Fisher, here for week 451 on the topic of patient. My first story is called Lady Mondegreen. Janice Gamely auditioned for off-Broadway musicals every chance she had, but her hearing wasn't what it used to be. That created some unfortunate mix-ups in singing lyrics. For a torch song version of Purple Haze, she insisted the line was, "Excuse me while I kiss this pie." After the third time, the producer told her that he'd been patient, but she was done. As she tearfully packed her things, he added, "Oh, and it's while I kiss the sky, not this pie." Janice stopped what she was doing and replied, "Why, that's just silly. Why would anyone try to kiss the sky?" The producer carefully looked at Janice. "Wait a minute. You've auditioned for me before. You're the one who insisted that Whitney Houston was singing, 'Cause I'm shaving off my muff for you, aren't you?" Her parting words were, "Well, it makes more sense than what you claim she sang." All right, I stole those Mondegreen jokes from the internet. But still. And my second story is called A Fine Wine. Helping to treat Ebola patients in Africa is a noble endeavor, but normal people think it's a good idea to quarantine anyone who comes into contact with the virus and shows symptoms of the disease. Not so the Ebola nurse, who whined that she shouldn't be quarantined, that this was just like rounding up the Japanese during World War II, failing to appreciate the subtle distinction between the two incidents. When the Ebola nurse left New Jersey, heading for Maine, she whined about the publicity she was getting, failing to notice that she brought the camera crews on herself. Then she whined that she didn't want to be known as the Ebola nurse, as she had never had Ebola. "Not a problem," the press responded, and dubbed her the whiny nurse. And that's it for me this week. I'll be back next week.
Thank you, Jeffrey Fisher. The next story is by Richard.
Good morning, everyone. Ever have one of those days when you write a couple of stories on what you think the topic is, and then you get that vague feeling that you've picked the wrong topic? Well, we'll see if this is the right one. I've picked Patient, and this is George's story, Part 84, Candidate. It took 20 minutes of rubbing his sore toes and numb shoulder before George could take in his new surroundings, which were frankly disappointing. The room was small and uninteresting, just a desk, chair, and a computer. A cardboard wallet lay on the desk. Written neatly on the wallet's flap, the words Beta Project, Candidates, and inside a single sheet of paper, a list of names, including George's, each with a corresponding candidate number. George was confused. If this was a hospital, why was he a candidate and not a patient? And what exactly was the meaning of the list? And moving along, here's my second story. It's called Be Patient. This is one of those stories you have to stick with, although it's hard going. No spoilers, no clues, just a slow-burning plot that hides the final outcome until the very end. It's the sort of story that you wish you'd never started, but once you have, you can't bring yourself to put it down. You simply have to know how it works out. Chapter by chapter, page by page, line by line, right through to the bitter end. Nearly there now. Don't get your hopes up. The clever twist, the surprise ending is coming soon. Just be patient. And hopefully those stories were on the right topic. If not, I apologize, but until next week, goodbye.
Thank you, Richard. The next story is by Lizzie.
Being impatient has saved me from trouble several times, and throughout my life I never looked at it as something negative. Once I started being told to be patient, I became very suspicious of this new demand. They say patience is a virtue, true. However, impatience solves problems. Torn between one and the other, I decided to take turns. Monday, patience. Tuesday, impatience. Wednesday, patience, and so on. The day I met him was, unfortunately, a Thursday. Without being asked for an opinion, he said my dress had an awkward color, and I kicked him in the... Well, never mind. This was my story for this week. Drop by my blog at lizziegoodcough.blogspot.com, and I will talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Lizzie. The next story is by Spate.
Weekly Challenge 451. Topic: Patient. Name of the story: Seasonal Disorder. And it's going down now. Each year it got worse. Music, crowds, runny-nosed kids, mandatory, insincere greetings of strangers. Those bells ringing and ringing. Every time a damned bell rings, it's Black Friday selling another soul at 60% off. Yeah, this year I snapped. I stripped in the middle of the food court, leapt onto that table, kicked over little Timmy's fake Christmas pudding in the green and red neon plastic tub, and shouted out for all to hear, "Show me, Clarence! Where is my wonderful life?" Yeah, gonna quit my job in retail as soon as they let me out of this hospital.
Thank you, Spate. The next story is by Muncie.
Greetings, Christmas Stereo. Muncie here, late with your new nickname due to Nano obliterating my ability to remember how calendars work. But on time with a story. Have you waited for a story? Waited with bated breath? Well, you're going to have to be... Patient, by Christopher Monroe. I'll wait for you, love, for as long as it takes, because you matter to me more than I can possibly say. And when somebody matters to you, you're willing to give them all the time they might possibly need. So, are you ready? No? That's totally okay. I respect your need for time, for space, and I'll wait as long as it takes, until the end of time if need be. Because you, my love, are worth the wait. So, how about now? No? Now? No. Now! I'm willing to wait. I have the patience of a saint. Broken Escalator, ChristopherMonroe.blogspot.com, and tweets at MunzyMunzy. That's my story, Christmas Stereo. I hope you've dug it. I now return you to the remainder of your day.
Thank you, Muncie. The next story is by Zach Mann.
Seems like I've been waiting forever for this movie. The one sequel anyone ever really wanted. You might think Star Wars Episode 7, but no, I saw Episode 1, so will not even think about Episode 7, because I'm saving my heartbreaking disappointment for the day it is in the theater. I am waiting for Spaceballs 2, The Search for More Money, or Spaceballs 3, The Search for Spaceballs 2. Whichever comes first. Likely it will be just my luck that the movie will be good but will not be in theaters like Odd Thomas or Equestria Girls Rainbow Rocks.
Thank you, Zach Mann. The next story is by Anima.
Hello, it is Anima, and I'm standing outside in the garden today because inside the house is too noisy. So, hear the birds chirp. This is the list. I have this thing about lists. To-do lists. Packing lists. Grocery lists. Christmas card lists. And I am still working on my revenge list. You know, those folks who have wronged me and my family. The teacher who humiliated my son. She's going to find her tires flattened next week. Those losers who did not friend me, their personal information is going to be passed on to the North Koreans. And at the top of the list, this doctor who is making me wait. I haven't figured out what it will be, but it won't have to wait as long as I have today. Thank you, and have a great week.
Thank you, Anima. The next story is by Dionysus.
Hi, this is Dionysus Close with three stories inspired by the prompt patient. The first one is called Mistresses. Ben Franklin recommended older mistresses because they are more grateful. But patient? Candace, for example, was impatient to move to the next level when she first met Ray, which to her meant a partner for the rest of her life. She was extremely patient, he thought, with his erections, which often took their time. He saw this as a reflection of her impatience for commitment. The younger women he met were patient, actually indifferent, with their long-term prospects, but more often impatient with his equipment. The older women said Ray found indifference reassuring because he couldn't commit. All the women resented the word mistress. The second story is called Finding the Thread. Traeger was known on occasion to stop in mid-stride or mid-sentence without warning. Why? For Block, this was an issue. Block thought on his feet. Block was always two sentences or two steps ahead of himself. Block was impatient. Don't ask Block why. He thinks you already know the answer. Come on, Traeger, Block would say. Just keep it rolling. Follow me. Don't follow me. Traeger would deliberate. Where is this leading? When Block fell off the edge of the world, Traeger stopped. Traeger watched him go. Why? To find the thread, Traeger said. Block fell like someone who knows what he's doing. And the third story is called The Curse. My mother always told my father he needed patient. He suffered from chronic constipation. Perhaps it was even congenital. They watched me anxiously through my younger years without patient, and though I rarely suffered the paternal affliction, a few rare occasions were the object of intense scrutiny, amounting to a parental pressure which I now blame for everything. My father's constipation was continuous, however, and my mother always gave the same advice. Now, patient, she would say, and remember, patient is the great thing, and above all things else, we must avoid anything like being or becoming out of patient. Patience! God damn it, he would shout. It's patience! Those are the stories. See you next week.
Thank you, Dionysus. The next story is by Serendipity.
Time of death. 8:15. Excuse me, doctor, I interrupted. The patient isn't dead. He stared at me strangely. You're new here, aren't you? What do you think? We're the best hospital in the area. Let the patient die without any messing about, and you save time and money. You need fewer and less qualified staff, cheaper equipment, and those waiting lists are practically non-existent. I was shocked. What about medical ethics I countered? And duty of care? Why should we care if the patient doesn't? He responded. But of course he does, I argued. Not for much longer, nurse.
Thank you, Serendipity. The next story is by Tom.
Hello, night people. Tom here, and I've got a mess of story. Not stories, story. And the first story is, patients aren't. For years I've heard of the maladaptive behavior of Gail's patients. In keeping with HIPAA, these nearly rants were liberally peppered with X did this and Y did that. It is my humble opinion, patients are not patient. But every once in a while, one of her clients says something just flat out amusing. The following actually occurred. During a general interview, the question of sexual activity came up. The dear woman thought for a moment and told Gail she was not, but her husband was. It took all of her best FNP affect to keep from laughing out loud. And a continuation of a well-defined relationship, three parts. Part 77, community. Mother was welcomed into the little community while awaiting her son and the doctor. She set up a class in business practices for the young women of the community. The Reverend Morehouse found room in the rectory of Our Lady of Perpetual Motion in return for getting the books of the church in order. On Sunday afternoon, she and Saxby would fire off 1,000 rounds in the high desert. Mrs. Parsons, if we had your gun at Riker's Ridge, the war would have gone quite differently. You do know the commanding officer on that ridge. Yes, Mrs. Parsons. And part 78, cranberries. I miss him so horribly, Reverend Saxby. You will forgive me for not sharing your sentiment. Of course, how rude of me. No, Mrs. Parsons, I should not have been so frank. Living in the outback tends to strip away social conventions. Further, you don't know how I became acquainted with your late husband. As I recall, the subject was cranberries. We were so full of ourselves in the court of the emperor. The Reverend lowered to the ground and propped his gun against a log. Gazing across the horizon, he crossed the decades to the days of his youth. And finally, part 79, shoe. I was a shiny new cadet at the academy, and Lancer Parsons was a year ahead of me. Dueling was all the rage in those peaceful days. At a Thanksgiving dinner, an argument broke out on the etymology of cranberries. Your husband refused to yield the floor. Foolishly, I pointed out it served the company best to devour the sauce of our discontent. Rancorous laughter and table thumping ensued. Lancer Parson became unhinged, removed a shoe and let it fall in my mashed potatoes. Not to be outdone, I removed one of my own and dropped it in same potatoes. And that's it.
Thank you, Tom. The next story is by Tara.
The thing in the hill crawled through the dank tunnels. It peered out over an empty hillside. Rain fell in zinc sheets, as always. It crawled back inside and searched for a toad to eat. It sat against the wall, chewing on something that had wriggled under its foot and was now wriggling in its mouth. The thing that had wriggled in its mouth was now wriggling in its stomach. It tickled. It hated when it did that. It sat for a while longer. It was a very patient thing. Time dripped from the roof and oozed down the wall.
Thank you, Tara. The next story is by Norval Joe.
Hello. Hello, this is Philip Norval Joe Carroll of NorvalJoe.com and of Fly Paperboy, Coming of Age, available at Amazon.com. And this is my entry for the weekly challenge number 451 with the prompt of patient. So here's my story. The dealer carefully bent up one corner of his hidden card. The stony expression never leaving his face, he looked to the crazy cat lady. Her cards face up showed queen and eight. She waved her hand over them, and the dealer turned to Durgle. 9 and 3. Durgle tapped his finger next to his cards, and the dealer turned over another 3. 16, Durgle sighed. You have to hit on 16, Wiener Dog Man, Superconductor said. Be patient, I'm thinking, Durgle said. Okay, Durgle said, tapping the table. Give me a 5. The dealer turned over an ace. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week.
Thank you, Norval Joe. And now, the moment that you have been dreading. The next story is by Planet Z.
First Virtual Hospital scans every patient that comes into the hospital to create a virtual profile. Then, we run that virtual profile through every available diagnostic to determine what is wrong with them. That results in a list of proposed treatments, the risks of each procedure, and the costs. Their insurance company gets that report and determines what the patient is covered for. After that, the lawyers review the malpractice risks involved with each procedure. Finally, the doctor practices discussing the options available with the virtual patient. You're perfectly fine, says the doctor. Nothing to worry about. The administrators grin.
And there you have it. A whole bunch of 100-word stories on the topic of patience. Thank you to everyone who was a part of the weekly challenge this week. If you want to catch up on almost 10 years of weekly challenges and stories, go to oneadayuntilthedayidie.com. The next weekly challenge is on the topic of New Jersey. I hope you can join us. Until then, thank you for listening. And as always, keep it brief.